Let's read Philippians 1, 27 through 30, if you have your Bibles at home. Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, I now hear that I still have. So whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so I want to highlight just one thought there. Clearly there are some enemies to these Philippian Christians, right? And they're trying to intimidate them. Paul says, don't let your opponents intimidate you. That's a quote. That's in verse 28. From Paul's point of view, the whole business of being a Christian is about living by the belief that Jesus is already the true Lord of the world. Most of the world doesn't know this yet. So the loyal Christian is inevitably out of step with people all around. And this will result in misunderstanding, hostility, and even persecution. So Paul has this view that Jesus is already the true Lord of the world. And everyone else that kind of is living around him, they don't share that view. But he's gonna put his support towards this Jesus as Lord. As I was thinking about this, I'm sorry for sports analogies. My wife always, Alicia's on the call, she'll probably say something bad about this. I enjoy, I love sports, and I do a lot of sports things to explain Bible passages. But to me, what this is I'll use these two quarterbacks. Back in the 80s, there was this great quarterback. His name was Joe Montana. You guys know Joe Montana? And then the 49ers, and this has happened for many teams too, by the way. The 49ers decided they needed to go to a new generation of quarterback. You remember the backup to Joe Montana? Okay, Steve Young, exactly. So Joe Montana, he's a legend. He's like won Super Bowls and stuff. And they bring on Steve Young, who's kind of this upstart guy from BYU, I think, you know. And so on the team, there's kind of this weird dynamic. Here's the guy that's led us for years after years of the Super Bowl. Most of the guys follow, of course, Joe Montana. He's the legend. But then many members on the team are starting to recognize that Steve Young is going to be the future. We better give our loyalties to Steve Young. Now, how does this apply to Jesus? You're probably wondering. Yeah. Jesus is kind of like Steve Young in this sense. The world, when Jesus comes into it, loves its leaders, loves Caesar, loves Herod, loves these world powers which have existed for so long. Jesus comes on the scene. Paul's recognizing that Jesus is the future, that Jesus is going to be the one in control, not Caesar, not Herod, not these other guys. And so he's throwing his loyalty to quote unquote Steve Young. How would that be on a team? You'd kind of be out of step with your teammates. You understand how that works? So anyway, maybe a really bad analogy, but hopefully you understand where I'm going with that. Paul's throwing his support behind Jesus, who's going to be the Lord of all, even though the world totally doesn't see it that way. Here's a question for us to consider. How does it feel to live in a world that we are out of step with the people around us? Are Christians out of step with the world around us? Matt? Okay. Okay.
you grow up and you come into the world, right? Maybe the alpha, you know Jesus. You come in the world, you're, you know, the other side of everything. Your competition for work and your work values versus your spiritual values. And that dynamic, the worldly values versus your spiritual values all through your life. And then at the end, you go back to Jesus.
Okay. Just thinking practically, how does your work life conflict with your spiritual life? Does it for you at all?
Priorities.
Okay.
You know, your work is always talking about your time priorities versus your family priorities, your time balance, those things, which I would say your spiritual priorities are more your family. And your work priorities are for somebody else.
Okay. Great comment. Yeah. Matt says a lot of good things there, but Matt's saying that work asks more out of you for the company, whereas Christianity asks that you serve your family, and those two can kind of be battling against each other. Any other comments? How Christians can feel out of step with the world?